From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Lisner Auditorium in Washington, D.C., Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you all very much. It is always great to be back here in the nation's capital. For us, it is, of course, the place from whence our nourishment flows. We feel like big bacon fans do when they get to visit a large swine farm. So I just want to say, while we're here, senators, congressmen, members of the executive branch, don't change a thing. Junior aides, keep posting those anonymous blogs. Journalists, you are just as important as you think you are. And for those civilians here whose lives are being wrecked by the daily actions of everybody else I've just mentioned, I'm sorry, but we need the bacon. We also need folks to call in and answer questions about the week's news. So give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Who's this?
This is Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. How are things there?
Chicago is wonderful.
I'm so glad to hear it.
Yes.
We miss it a little bit.
We miss you.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Elizabeth, what do you do there?
I am a teacher, a high school teacher.
And what do you teach in this high school?
I teach English, American, and British Lit.
Really?
Yes.
And do your students thrive under your tutelage?
Oh, they thrive. I had one student say he's going to fail this year just so he can be with me again.
Uh-oh.
That's very sweet. Elizabeth, it's great to have you. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Next, say hello to a woman about town and the co-author of the Reliable Source column for the Washington Post, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, Roxanne.
Hello, Elizabeth.
And lastly, say hello to humorist and author Mr. Tom Baudet.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, are you still making them read Billy Budd in high school English class?
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, good.
I've never heard of it.
That's progress.
You've never met this Budd person. Well, Elizabeth, welcome to the show. Now, you're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle is now going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
All right, here's your first quote.
We want to pay taxes. We want to pay taxes.
That was a chant heard earlier this week at a massive rally in Chicago.
Yes.
One of many held across the country. They were rallies to defend the rights of whom?
Illegal immigrants.
Exactly right. May 1st became the day without immigrants, as all over the country, shops were closed, taquerias rattled down their doors, as one protester's sign read, "No immigrants equals no burritos." Think about it, America.
It's a good point he has.
The immigrants went out, they protested, they said, as you heard, that they want to become citizens, they want to pay taxes, they want to do their civic duty to support this country, and the anti-immigrant forces said, what more proof do you need that they don't share our values? No, I'm just trying to wonder if the day without immigrants, when they all left their jobs, had an effect. I mean, did anti-immigrant...
I learned how to make my bed.
Yeah, well...
Well, you know, it was reported that around the country that couples were kneeling in front of their nannies and begging to sponsor their citizenship after having to take care of their own children for a day.
Did you see what was inside that diaper? Very good, Elizabeth. Now, for your next quote, it's actually a selection of quotes. They're all from a certain day 3 years ago. Here to start us off is Greta Van Susteren.
One observer here tonight said it was like the Beatles climbed out of that plane, and that's very much what it looked like from here.
Whoa, here's MSNBC's Chris Matthews.
He won the war. He was an effective commander. Everybody recognizes that, I believe, except a few critics.
Duck, everybody. Here comes G. Gordon Liddy.
You know, he's in his flight suit. He's striding across the deck, and he's wearing his parachute harness, and it makes the best of his manly characteristic.
He,
He has just won every woman's vote in the United States of America.
So those are just a few of the swooning reactions to a speech the president made on May 1st, 2003, a speech in which he declared what?
He declared that we'd won, or that the fighting was over.
The famous phrase, of course, is mission accomplished.
Yes.
Yes. Every patriotic American, I'm sure, remembers where they were on the day we won the Iraq War. The president, of
and
course...
And with any luck, where their manly characteristic was that
yeah,
same
exactly.
Day.
The president, of course, was on the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln in front of the banner which read, Mission Accomplished. That day has, to use a phrase, gone on to live in infamy. The latest defense of the president's premature celebration came from the First Lady, who said this week, and she did say this, that all the president meant was that the troops on that aircraft carrier had accomplished their mission. which perfectly makes sense to me. Apparently, though, we must assume that the TV cameras were turned off for the president's second speech, which was titled, "The Rest of You, of Course, Are Screwed." All right.
Gordon Liddy's just nuts.
He really is.
I love him. He's just completely crackers.
All right, Elizabeth, here's your last quote.
Okay.
The president makes decisions, the press secretary announces those decisions, and you people of the press type those decisions down.
Now that was somebody who managed to annoy the president, the press secretary, and the people of the press at the White House Correspondents' Dinner last weekend. Who was it?
Was that Stephen Colbert?
It was Stephen Colbert. What happens when a comedian does a routine and nobody laughs? The conservatives and the press corps in attendance, for the most part, say that Colbert wasn't that funny, he made obvious jokes, and was rude to the president. Now, Roxanne, you were there.
I was going to ask you. I know. Colbert was pretending to be a Republican, and the president was pretending to be a Democrat. It was hard.
Really?
Well, I think there's a distinction between if he was actually funny, if Colbert was funny. And sometimes something that's great fun on television, particularly if you happen to agree with the person making fun of the other person they're making fun
right.
of, is funny on the screen. But in the room, he wasn't ha-ha funny. Whereas the president, who came out with, you know, a twin and sort of did this id thing, was actually very funny, and I wanted to give him credit for that.
All right, Carl, how did Elizabeth do in our quiz?
Elizabeth was prepared, Peter. Elizabeth, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message in your home answering machine.
Excellent.
Congratulations.
Thank you.